One of the main tasks that Joshua and the Israelites had to perform after entering into the land of Canaan was the appointment of six cities, which became known as the cities of refuge. Their purpose was to provide shelter for anyone who was guilty of manslaughter throughout the land of Israel. God's law made a difference. It recognized the difference between murder and manslaughter. If a man committed a deliberate and willful act of murder, he could find no escape from the justice of God's law. The law required the execution of the murderer in order to purge the land of that heinous crime. The right was given to the next of kin of the murdered man to become the avenger of blood. And it was his responsibility to pursue the murderer and ensure justice was fulfilled. In doing so, the law of God was reflecting the sanctity and the preciousness of life and the vileness of the crime of murder. But the law of God also recognized cases where a man may have killed another accidentally, without any intention, without any malice, or without any enmity or hatred against him. And in that case, he could flee to the city of refuge, one of these six cities of refuge, and there he would be sheltered from the avenger of blood. Once he reached the city, he was entitled to a trial. And if the facts were established that he was guilty of manslaughter, that he had killed another accidentally, then he could enjoy the refuge of the city. And he would be safe from the avenger of blood. But he was not allowed to leave the city. He could leave the city if he so desired. But the moment that he set outside the borders of the city, then he faced the threat of the avenger of blood. He had to stay within the city. And inside the city he would be safe. And he would be sheltered from the avenger of blood. Now, whilst this law was a civil enactment for the nation of Israel, it is alluded to in the New Testament in a spiritual manner. It's alluded in the context of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse 18, the Apostle Paul there speaks of believers who have fled for refuge. Believers who have fled by refuge. Verse 17 gives us the beginning of the sentence, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the field, whither the forerunner, notice that thought, the forerunner, the one who has gone before, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Paul here is taking that picture, that scene of the man running to the city of refuge, seeking shelter in the city of refuge. He's taking that illustration from the Old Testament and he's applying it to believers, and he's saying that we have fled for refuge, and that refuge is found in Christ. Christ is our city of refuge. What a wonderful picture it is. And when you take it in that setting and in that context and in that application, the cities of refuge open up a wonderful study in the gospel. And I want this evening, just for a short moment, a short time, to consider these cities of refuge and look at them in a spiritual sense and to draw from them the spiritual lessons, the spiritual parallels. I want you to notice in the first place that these cities were typically intended. They were given in the first instance as a civil law for the nation of Israel. The law, the Lord gave these cities and gave the laws concerning them in relation to actual events that could take place within the nation of Israel. But there can be no doubt that they were also set forth as types of the spiritual salvation that God has provided in Christ. These cities of refuge are types of Christ. If you come to Joshua chapter 20 and verse 6, I want you to notice something very interesting here. When the Lord is laying down the different laws and regulations for these cities, He mentions the high priest. Verse 6 tells us that the slayer, the man guilty of manslaughter, he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. In other words, he could flee to the city and find refuge there. He could find shelter there from the avenger of blood. He was not allowed to go outside of the city. If he did, he could become a prey to the avenger of blood. He had to stay within the city until the death of the high priest. And then when the high priest died, he was released. He was set free. He was able to go outside of the city and return back to his house, back to his home and his family without the threat of the avenger of blood. He was released. The avenger of blood had no right to slay him after the high priest had died. Isn't that an interesting law that the Lord brings in? If you turn back to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35 is a chapter that goes into great detail concerning the cities of refuge. Verse 25 tells us, the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the avenger of blood find him outside the borders of the city of his refuge, and the avenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. He's released. He's delivered. Once the high priest has died. I want you to notice here that God has tied in the deliverance of the slayer to the life and the death of the high priest. While the high priest was alive, the slayer could find refuge in the city. When the high priest died, the slayer was released from the curse. He was released from the threat of vengeance. He was free to go. It was all pointing to Christ. The high priest in Old Testament days was a type of Christ, a picture of the Lord Jesus. And here we see how the man guilty of manslaughter could live while the high priest lived, and once the high priest died, he was free to go. He was released from the vengeance of the avenger of blood. What a wonderful picture it is of Christ. We who are guilty of sin and transgression against God can be set free. We can find refuge from the vengeance of God's law through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of our great high priest. It's interesting when you take these six cities that are mentioned in Joshua chapter 20. We're given their names in verses 7 and 8. And when you take their names and study them in the Hebrew, they all have a significance. They all have a meaning that relates to Christ. In verse 7, the first city is the city Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali. The word Kadesh there comes from the root which means holy or holiness. The Lord Jesus is holy. And it's because of His holiness that we can find refuge from the vengeance of God's law. The name Shechem means shoulder. And you can think of that great promise that the government shall be upon His shoulder. It speaks of the strength of Christ. He's the one who's able to save. Hebron means fellowship or being joined together. And it's only when we're brought into union with Christ, into fellowship with Him, that we become partakers of His redemption and the benefits of His atoning sacrifice. The word Bezer means fortification, the place of safety and shelter. And it is in Christ that we find that shelter. The word Ramoth, the name Ramoth, means high or exalted, and you can think of Christ being the exalted one, the one lifted up on high, the one whom God has appointed as the only Savior. The name Golan means joy or rejoicing, and it speaks of the rejoicing that we have when we're safe in Christ. You see, these cities were typically intended. They were set forth as types of Christ. The man finding deliverance when the high priest died. But not only that, the cities were divinely appointed. Look at verse 2 of Joshua chapter 20. The Lord is speaking to Joshua and He says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." These cities were divinely appointed. The shelter of these cities, the safety of these cities was not due to their walls or to their fortifications, but to the fact that they were divinely appointed. That was the basis upon which the slayer could find shelter. God had appointed these cities for refuge. They were of divine appointment and therefore of divine authority. Likewise, it is God who has provided, who has appointed the provision of salvation for sinners in the person of His dear Son. Our safety and our deliverance from the curse of a broken law is not found in ourselves. It's not found in anything that we are or anything that we can do. It's found rather in what God has provided. And therein lies the ground of our assurance. If I flee to Christ and receive Him as my Savior, I am safe. And I can know that I'm safe. I can be assured that it's well with my soul because God has appointed Him as the only Savior. The slayer of blood could flee to the city and find shelter because God had appointed that city. When you study the cities that were given to the Levites, and all these six cities were cities that were given to the Levites throughout the nation of Israel. They were given 48 cities in total. And if a slayer had gone to any of the other 42 cities, those cities could have been better fortified. They could have been nearer at hand. But the slayer could not have found refuge in those cities. He was still exposed. It was only in the city that God had appointed that he could find refuge and find deliverance. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one whom God has appointed, the only one. And it's only in Christ that we can find deliverance from our sins. They were typically intended. They were divinely appointed. But these cities were also centrally located. Look again at these cities in verse 7 and 8. And if you take a little time to look at a Bible map, and I have a Bible map printed out that you can pick up on the way home this evening. And I've listed where those cities are and put a circle round them. And when you study that map, you will find that those cities were all centrally located. They were placed within easy reach of the people. It's calculated that wherever a man was throughout the land of Israel, if he was at the furthest point of the border, he would be no further than half a day's journey away from one of these cities of refuge. No matter where a man was, he would be no further than half a day's journey. When God appointed these cities, he appointed cities that were within easy reach of the people. No matter where they were, they would never be far away from the city of refuge. Isn't it a wonderful parallel? Isn't it a wonderful picture? God located the place of safety, the place of refuge, near the offender, within his reach. And God has done the same for sinful men. God has not provided a salvation that is beyond the reach of sinners. He hasn't provided a salvation which they cannot reach. He's provided salvation in Christ. And God has made the way so easy and so plain. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. That refuge, that deliverance is within the reach of sinners. It is not far. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God put these cities in places where the people would not be far away from them at any time. They could reach them within a day, half a day's journey. They were centrally located. But then if you look a little further, you'll find that they were freely accessed. Look at Joshua chapter 20 and verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood. Notice here that these cities were open to anyone. They were freely accessible. Not only the children of Israel, but the stranger. The stranger. The stranger, of course, was somebody born outside of the family stock of Jacob. A Gentile. And you can see how this provision was opened up not only to the children of Israel, to the favored family, but it was opened up to all men, to the strangers. Was it not a wonderful foreshadowing of God's great purpose in salvation? You remember how Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This provision of a Savior and this salvation wrought out by Christ could be accessed not only by Jews, but by Gentiles as well. The doors of these cities were open for all men, whatever their background, whatever their nationality, whatever their circumstances, whatever their standing. And isn't it a wonderful, wonderful portrayal of the gospel? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter who they are, what they have done, or where they come from. The Lord Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's refuge for all. There's salvation for all who will come. But turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 19, and you will find a fifth characteristic of these cities. Deuteronomy chapter 19. You can see here that the cities were not only typically intended and divinely appointed and centrally located and freely accessed, but they had to be clearly signposted. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 19, when the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land. They were centrally located, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Notice this. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. Notice that opening clause, thou shalt prepare thee a way. God appointed the cities, and then he said to the Israelites, you must prepare the way to these cities. You must mark out the roads. You must maintain the roads. And you must have a signpost pointing to these cities. They must be clearly signposted. It's recorded in Jewish history that the elders of Israel had to ensure that the access routes to the city of refuge were maintained. All the paths and all the bridges had to be regularly maintained. Nothing was to hinder the way to the city of refuge. Here's the application for the church. God has appointed the provision of salvation in Christ, the only refuge. Christ has purchased that salvation by his atoning work on the cross, by his death. But it is the church's task in this world to make the way clear, to ensure that men are informed as to the way of salvation, how they can be saved and where they can find safety and refuge from their sin and the curse of the law. The Lord says, prepare thee a way. Make the way clear. Make the path clear. Remove every obstacle. Make sure that men know where the city of refuge is. And make sure there's nothing standing in their way from getting to that city. This was their responsibility, and it's the responsibility that God has given to his church tonight. We must make the way clear. We must tell men, we must show to men the way of salvation and how they can be saved. And we must see to it that every obstacle and any obstruction is taken out of the way. These cities were clearly signposted. But notice finally, they had to be personally entered. You see, the appointment and the provision of the cities, along with the regular maintaining of the routes to the cities, would be of no avail unless the slayer actually and personally entered into the city. He must flee thither. Did you notice that in Joshua 20 and verse 3? That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him in to the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. You see, unless the person actually enters into the city, he would not find refuge. He would not find safety. He must make his way to the city that God had provided. He must enter into the city in order to find refuge and be safe. Otherwise, he would be exposed to the revenger of blood. Outside the city, he would be in danger. He must enter in, and he must remain there. That was the reason why Abner was slain. We read earlier of that event in 2 Samuel chapter 3. And did you notice the city that he came to? It was the city of Hebron, one of the refuge cities, the cities of refuge. And Abner had been pursuing after, or Joab had been pursuing after Abner for a long time. And now he sees his opportunity and Abner's almost in the city. Verse 27, when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. If it had just been a few more feet, if he had just have gotten into the city, the avenger of blood couldn't have touched him. He had to enter in to be safe. And unless and until a sinner flees to Christ and enters in personally and actually to the salvation that God has provided in Christ, that sinner cannot and will not be saved. There is eternal refuge. There is a place of safety in Christ. And how plain the way of salvation is, that whosoever will believe on him shall be saved. But until a man, a woman, a young person, a boy or girl actually takes that step and enters into Christ and receives him by faith, they are exposed to the vengeance of God's law. They are not safe. God is teaching through these cities of refuge the requirement and the responsibility that rests upon every single individual. It is not enough to hear about the gospel. It's not enough to be brought up under the shadow of the gospel. It's not enough to be near salvation. There must be a personal entering in order to avail and to receive the salvation that God has provided in Christ. The slayer must flee to the city. And that's what God is saying to every sinner tonight. There's salvation in Christ. Deliverance from the curse of the law, pardon for sin, acceptance with God. But it can only be received when a sinner receives Christ personally by faith. The sinner must enter in, just as the slayer had to enter into the city. And until he does so, he is not safe. He is not safe. Abner was so near. So very, very near. But it wasn't near enough. It wasn't near enough. He had to enter in. God is saying to each one of us tonight, if we have not yet taken the step of faith, and fled to Christ for refuge. It is not well with our soul. And it will only be well with our soul when we actually receive Christ. We actually believe on Him to the salvation of our souls.